Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Tima.
Runs into the block by Chris Meyer. There he goes into the secondary. And first and goal. Gordon, touchdown. Good looking drive. Jackson has the block and chop. But down goes Tua from inside. Malik Green gets up. Third and 21. Down he goes. Sacked there by Chubb. He has been quiet. Sixth sack of the season. Fifth Denver sack today. In the end zone. And intercepted. Picked up by the all-pro Justin Simmons. End zone interception. And the clock hits zeros. Patrick's got the ball. Down there, makes the tackle at the 23. This baby's over. And the Denver Broncos have stopped the Miami Dolphins' five-game winning streak. Victory!
Here's walking in the crib and everything.
Ooh. Yeah!
Here's walking in the crib and everything.
Jerry Jeudy, baby, let's go.
Let's go! Where's our Nick Vinette drop? Where's our Melvin Gordon drop? Oh, you mean he already did?
Oh.
Oh, I'm kidding. We love Melvin Gordon. Sort of. What's going on, dude? We did it! We did
Victory!
Oh, all those haters and doubters. And I mean, geez, who are these people?
Victory tastes good, man. It tastes very good.
It tastes so good, especially... Listen, there's a lot of good things at Del Frisco's. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of good things at Del Frisco's.
Yeah.
A lot. You can't go wrong.
Sure.
You haven't lived a life until you've had a hamburger from Del Frisco's.
You know what? I'm going to respect Del's and not have that conversation at this very moment because I'm going to be very respectful of Del's, and it's a fantastic burger that I just wolfed down. It was phenomenal.
Can you imagine having a better...
But don't think for 1 second that you're getting out of this conversation. I'm going to be respectful to our sponsor, but do not think for 1 second you're getting out of this conversation.
I would wait in line for a hamburger at Del Frisco's. I mean, I would need the police to help me to get me away from getting a hamburger at Del Frisco's.
Right. Right.
At Orchard and I-25. So good. Thank you, Del Frisco's. Man, it's not just hamburgers. I saw the lobster mac and cheese again.
Desserts. That's the best. It's the best. And it tastes better out of Victory Monday.
Bro.
You know, we've got consolation.
Victory! Yeah, it's all right.
Monday tastes just a little bit better.
So much better. Listen, we'll take consolation Monday. We may have a few more of those to come. But on a Victory Monday, thank you, Del Frisco's. Thank you, Denver Broncos. Thank you to all the haters and doubters and people that just weren't absolutely convinced the Broncos were going to beat the Dolphins.
You know what? I saw the tweet from the Broncos. I know what you're talking about.
I'm starting to laugh at it now.
They retweeted all the ESPN analysts that picked the Dolphins to win this game.
Right.
And they said, they never learn. They never learn. Well, you know what?
You never learn.
I guess.
The team's
sure.
3-6.
Sure.
You never learn.
Right. You never learn. I do feel like, although I did not pick the Broncos to win this game, I do feel like I definitely pointed this out, and I feel very vindicated that, boy, were you just unwarrantedly panicked about this game.
I was freaked out. Freaked out. And listen, when we looked at the first two series, you understood why I was freaked out about things. You know, it's a run for nothing to Phillip,
right,
who started.
Right.
It's a bad pass. It's an interception. Okay. The next drive. Oh, it's a 3-and-out. Where did you think it was going? Where did we all think it was going?
That was about as bad of a start that you could possibly get. I mean, Drew Lock comes out, tosses the interception. We're banging our head against the wall in the running game. The first few attempts, we're getting no yardage whatsoever. And I'm thinking to myself, here we go. Pat Shurmur's going to abandon the running game like after series one. But lo and behold, he did not. What a rushing performance that was. I mean, goodness gracious, that's what you needed. So many things in this game I feel validated about, from Drew Lock and being underneath center to the lack of commitment to the running game, everything. Man, it just all unfolded the exact way that I thought it should. I've been harping on this deal that Drew Lock looks so much better when he's underneath center.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this game, prior to this game, the Broncos have been in shotgun 70% of their snaps. In this game, that number dropped down to 59%. And how much better did he look?
So much better.
So much better, man. And the fact that I told Pat Shurmur in my keys to victory, and I'm sure he was listening, and I'm sure you guys can all thank me for this, okay?
Thank you.
I said in the first series, when you get 0 yards on your first few run attempts, do it again. Do it again, do it again, do it again. And he did, and credit to him, man. He kept doing it, and boy, was that running game good.
I think the key to that, him doing it again, as you said, was the fact that the defense, listen, you give the Dolphins a short field, they score. It really felt like we were, the very, very beginning of the game, Tyler, just felt like everything was happening too much to how we predicted it would go. But that's what we said. We said, well, why do the Dolphins not have great offense, but they have great points for, you know, scoring? Well, because they've had short fields, because they've been tremendous in special teams and in defense, taking the ball away. They took the ball away like in 16 straight games, third offensive snap for the Broncos, the ball's taken away. And we should point out, too, the defense had a great three and out to stop the Dolphins right off the bat. So maybe we should have been aware that, hey, some good things are to come here.
Well, I mean, I've been telling you guys all week long that the Dolphins' offense was pedestrian. And listen, I can't take too much credit because I picked the Dolphins to win this game. But I was not blown away by the Dolphins. I did not think that they were an amazing football team. But I did not think that the Broncos were necessarily going to come out and play the type of game that they did. I mean, defensively, we played lights out. Just absolutely lights out.
A-plus.
Unbelievable performance.
Fantastic.
Justin Simmons, man. Dude.
Pro Bowl. All pro. I mean, just fantastic.
I hope so. And I hope that you get another contract with the Denver Broncos. Because
you know what?
It's been a long time since we've had homegrown talent like that.
Yep.
And we can't let him get away. So that's a whole conversation in its own right. But Justin Simmons just flat out balled.
Yeah. Yeah. And he set up Fitzmagic. He set him up, too. He's great. Justin Simmons is great.
Don't lie to me, though. When Fitzpatrick came in there with 10 minutes to go, I was panicked.
Were you panicked?
As soon as he came in with 10 minutes, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, that's way too much time for him. And then, lo and behold, he marches right on down the field. He gets 3 points.
Yeah.
Comes back on the next drive, and he's just marching up and down the field, doing his deal.
Yeah.
Gets him down into the red zone, and he tosses an interception. Thank you. But, yeah.
Pretty good pass, though, too. When you watch that play, you see what he was saying, was seeing. I think that was an example of a great player making a great play on a great play. Like, I wouldn't even blame Fitzpatrick for taking that particular shot, because I think Simmons set him up a little bit. I think he was aware of what was going on. Simmons had to take a chance. Fitzpatrick didn't have a lot of time left. You know, it was third down at the time.
Yeah, he had to make something happen.
He had to make something happen. There was less than a minute to go. Or right around a minute to go. You know, it's just an example of a great player making a great play at a great time. And I wouldn't even rip on Fitzpatrick for making the throw. That throw was the money if Simmons doesn't make that incredible read.
Well, and you have to attempt it. At that point, you don't have any choices. You have to go for the touchdown.
And they tried earlier, and they had a good play set up to get a touchdown on the play earlier, and it just, you know, they got a little. It had the tight end or the receiver, I forget who it was. I think it was the tight end. Had he cut in front of our defensive back, I'm forgetting all the names here, but had he cut inside of him and kind of posted up, it would have been a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of like looped behind him, and you could see Fitzpatrick actually gesture to him like, hey, you needed to, you know, come back. You needed to come. Didn't go the right way there. And I don't even blame that on. That was a good play call, too. Just got a little screwed up.
They had
their chances.
Yeah, they did. They did. I thought Drew Lock was okay. He was fine. He comes out the gate and does exactly what he's been doing the last few games, and you're panicked. And I was panicked as well. Honestly, at that point, I turned on Twitter, and I saw a lot of people just say, I'm done. I've seen enough. Turn it off, including our own James Merrillat. Well, Drew was okay the rest of the game. He didn't do anything special, but he calmed down, and that's improvement. So I'll take it, man. It was an improvement game for Drew Lock. It certainly was not enough to change any opinions, but it was better than it's been, and I'll take it. It was improvement.
I'm looking something up real quick because I have an example based on what you said that I think would be equivalent. I just haven't researched it because it didn't hit me until you said what you said. But when you talk like Drew Lock was okay, it's like in my mind, it's like, well, who was he? And I think I know who he was like, and it's just going to take me a second to find this out. Let me, before I find this out, Oh, here we go. Here, now I'll find out here quick. I want to make a comparison here to Drew Lock. Hold on. Give me a second. I'll get it. I'll get it. Okay. Let me eyeball this just for a second. Who? So you say if you had to give Drew Lock a grade, what would it be?
C plus, B minus.
C plus, B minus. And we know on that pass to Tim Patrick, that was 61 yards. Are we counting that one or count that one?
I mean, you can count it if you want to. I mean, the reality is...
Let's not count it, okay? Yeah, I mean,
so without it, it was about a 210-yard day.
Yes.
One interception, no touchdowns, and he would have been 17 of 29.
Yes. 17 of 29 for 210, one interception, no touchdowns. Okay, let me read you this line. 12 of 22 for 204, no touchdowns, no interceptions, three sacks, QBR of 24-7. Drew Lock's QBR was 73.5, so way better. But what the comparison I'm trying to make was to Baker Mayfield is that's what I kind of saw out of Drew Lock yesterday is what I think the Browns are trying to do with Baker Mayfield, manage things.
Yeah.
We got a good team. We just don't need you screwing things up. And in terms of the yardage, completion percentage, all kind of the same. And look at the rushing attempts for the Browns. Tyler, 40 rushing attempts for the Browns. What the Broncos put up? 33.
Yeah, the Browns are the best rushing team in the NFL right now, in my opinion. I love watching the Browns running game. I love the wide zone that they're implementing. But I loved what the Broncos did as well. We made a newfound commitment to the running game, and this is what it should have always been. Man, you brought in a running back and paid him $16 million over 2 years when you already had a 1,000-yard rusher on the team. Now, listen, I'm not saying anything other than if you do that, you now have two Pro Bowlers at that position. You now have two guys that are very capable starters. Well, they should be the feature of the offense. That's what you should be doing. That should be the commitment of this team is to those guys. And we finally did. We finally made a commitment. And Drew Lock, when you don't ask him to sit in shotgun all day long, when you don't ask him to throw the ball 47 times per game, well, he can manage a game. And it looked very similar to his first five starts of last season.
All right. I want to play this answer from Fangio earlier today, not after the game, but earlier today. And I am so curious from your perspective about what the Broncos did. They did a really good job on the TV broadcast pointing out how often specifically Dalton Risner and Garrett Bowles were pulling.
Okay. Yeah.
And here's how Coach Fangio answered that today.
Well, part of the reason is, and you hit on it, you know, you went all the way back to the 60s there. You know, the Miami plays some fronts that was popular in the 60s. We play those fronts too here a little bit. We mix them in, disguise them a little bit more. So because of the way they played their defense, those runs were appealing to us, and we put them in, and the guys did a great job of executing them.
It looked awesome, but I'm a little interested in the answer and your perspective as well. I think from a fan perspective, seeing what Risner and Bowles were doing, you got to sit here and say, oh, my God, why don't you just keep doing that? But when I hear Fangio's answer, it's like, oh, can you only do that against certain types of defenses, or is this something we could get a whole lot more of?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what he meant by this is stuff that they ran in the 60s from the Dolphins. I'm sure he's got his reasons why he said it. I don't know in particular what that means, well, but I do know.
Let me set it up. The first of all, because the question came from Kliss, and Kliss compared to what was happening to running plays he remembers from the 60s, old Packers, mm-hmm. and they used to pull all the time, and Paul Hornig, and that type of, you know, that type of offense where the guard and tackle were always pulling and they would run behind him. Kliss was referencing that, and that's why Fangio, I think, was responding to that. But that being said, that's why I think he said what he said.
Well, I do know that last year there was a conflict of opinion between Mike Munchak and Rich Gangarello on how to run the football. And Rich Gangarello has been a wide zone, traditional West Coast offense kind of guy. Munchak had a little bit of that in his background, but his real bread and butter, his specialty has been powered gap schemes. That's what you saw. You saw a lot of polars, you saw a lot of counters, and you saw a lot of traps. And in particular, when you run traps like that, you know, like when you saw Garrett Bowl out there, well, you did see a couple counters, but you saw a bunch of traps as well. And when you run traps, you run those against teams that penetrate fast. So your counters to teams that penetrate fast. You've got draws, you've got screens, and you've got traps. Those are the plays that you run when they try to get upfield rather than go lateral down the line of scrimmage. And when you're in a 3-4 scheme, most of the time you try to go lateral. But if you get a team in a 3-4 that likes to get up the field, it's very similar to what we did with Wade, actually. Then that's a great team to hit him with a bunch of traps because you get them to vacate the space before you have to do anything. So just let them run up the field. They've already created a 2 or 3 yard separation there, and then you just got to pinch them out of the way, and you should have yourself a good 4 or 5 yards guaranteed.
What's the possible downside to that?
Well, it's not a great scheme against teams that don't penetrate, because if you run that, especially a trap in particular, and they stay lateral to the line of scrimmage, well, they didn't vacate anything.
They just stood there,
and they didn't create the space that you need. So you only call it against the right teams. Now, power, which is a very specific counter play that every team in the NFL runs, probably 8 to 10 times a game even. Well, just a simple guard pull. That's when you see Dalton Risner out there, and a lot of teams do it. You can run that against just about anybody, but the traps in particular, you got to be a little bit more specific about the scheme that you're going up against.
The times that I remember that play just getting kind of blown up is the guard or the tackle would either be too slow and the running back would run into him, or somebody else would get pushed back, like the guard that they're pulling around would get pushed back and kind of mess everything up.
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me on that particular type of play, you need a couple of athletes at guard and tackle to be able to really get out there in space a little bit. And if they can get there, it looks like, to me on the surface, a guaranteed win if they can get there every time.
Well, it's definitely not a guaranteed win. It's a bad matchup, really, for an offensive tackle when you get matched up with the defensive back. Because what do? They just avoid you. They just jump out of the way. They out-athletic
you. You got to get to
so
them.
You got to get your paws on them. And
I did
the time,
see a play where Bowles got around and there was, like, nobody for him to block. I mean, it was a successful play as it stood, but he was kind of... I'm not even blaming him. He was just kind of lost in space because a smaller, quicker guy, I suppose, could just go in a different direction.
Well, what most offensive line coaches will tell you to do is anytime you're out in space and you're blocking a defensive back, you cut him. You dive. Never, ever, ever try to be an athlete with an athlete. You're not going to win that. So they will just slip right underneath you. They'll undercut you. They'll do something, and you'll look like a fool. So what Garrett Bowles was doing was actually a little bit unusual. He was staying up, and he was blocking him, and he was pounding him. And he did a great job. You're right. You need an athletic tackle to do it. You notice they weren't pulling DeMar Dotson at all.
They weren't going the other way.
Right.
They weren't going in the Glasgow, Schlotman, Dotson direction. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to the left. No, listen, man. All right. Well, let me ask you. Is this something we should expect to see more of?
Oh, anytime you have success, you'll do it again. So, yes, I would expect the Broncos to run more of this. But you can't thrive on it against just any team like you did this week. It takes the right scheme, and it takes the right type of defensive players.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would expect them to do it as often as they possibly can. But 90% of the time, you have to live on inside-outside zone.
Well, don't blame us for not talking about it. We haven't really talked about it because we haven't really seen the Broncos do it. So we were seeing something.
Oh, they've done it a lot, actually.
This year?
Yeah.
Why hasn't it worked?
I mean, like I said, it's got to be the right scheme. It's got to be the right fit. But you know they run it a lot, because when you look at the play action, when you run play action pass, you run that off of your most successful running plays. Mm. And we so often will run a play action pass off of a counter in which Graham Glasgow is pulling, trying to catch up to a backside defensive end because that's supposed to be one of the plays that you run the most often. Well, he gets exposed on it all the time and has been exposed on it all the time throughout the season because it's a terrible matchup, a guard trying to go all the way down the line of scrimmage. We definitely have run this a lot in the past. We just haven't had as much success.
All right. Well, maybe that's why it doesn't really stand out, why we didn't really talk about it, why, you know, of all the things. But, hey, awesome. And Drew Lock under center, man, I felt like I was back in the Shanny days. Watching Jake Plummer running that play-action boot roll, little dink to the tight end, worked three times. Three times it worked to success every single time. And Vanette, we actually did talk about that. We were like, hey, throw the ball to Vanette.
Yeah,
I mean, because nobody's going to think that this guy is, nobody's going to consider him, which they didn't. And he got a couple of huge plays. Huge play to Noah Fant. Those are the football plays, Tyler, that look so easy when they work well.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there's nothing to it. That, to me, is the definition of helping out Drew Lock. You run the ball, you figure that out, and then you give him a couple of pass plays, Tyler, that are like, hey, anybody could do this, and we're rolling.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty, man. I loved it. You put your quarterback in a position to succeed rather than fail, and lo and behold, what do you know? He looked okay.
Mm. Was there improvement?
Are you on the hype train again?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, no, for sure there was improvement.
Not necessarily. But in this process with Drew Lock, what have we been looking for? Are there moments of improvement?
Sure.
Are there glimpses that, okay, I can see how this can work? Because we weren't getting those for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, there was enough in that game to feel like he improved 100%.
I absolutely was terrified he was going to get, you know, knocked out of the game. Absolutely. Right. And what did we say? Well, we said, okay, as long as they're committed to running the ball. We just didn't think they would be committed to running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they were going to be committed to it. Did you?
No, not that committed, no. I didn't think Pat Shermer would be able to find that and hit him.
Tyler, it's the blueprint. It's the way they need to proceed the rest of the year. And they are, not only are they going to be in...
Just fair warning, though, it is the blueprint, but it's the same thing with the Dolphins. I told you the Dolphins can't play from behind.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same deal.
I gotcha.
This is the blueprint as long as you're not down by 10 points.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it sucks.
Right. And the blueprint was aided massively because the defense played.
Right.
I mean, dude, that was incredible. That was reminiscent of 2015.
Hats off.
Dude. All right. We're excited. We're excited to get your feedback on it. Plenty of sound from earlier today and after the game and haters and doubters and if and that, but up, but up. And yeah, be careful when you open your mouth. when you open your mouth and say you're going to do something and you can't deliver. Thank God for Dale Friscos.
Right.
We'll have the water cooler next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Get back to the Broncos. Huge win over the Dolphins. Just 1 second, but... Tyler, don't you hate people that say they're going to do something and they don't do it and they come up with, like, crazy excuses why they can't figure out what they were supposed to do?
I do, and I'm ready to talk about it now, so we're going to skip the water cooler. We're going to skip this story about BYU and the fact that they are afraid to go play in Washington.
What?
Even though they said anytime, anywhere, any place. We're just going to skip that story, and we're going to talk about you. That's what we're going to do
I've
now.
I've got an official statement from BYU.
No. I'm ready to get an official statement, because on Friday, when you were supposed to pay off this In-N-Out bet, I was really excited about it. You didn't. You waited in line. You failed. You apparently just ran out of gas or something. I'm not even sure if you're ever in line. I'm not even sure what to believe at this point. On Friday, we go through the whole diatribe on Friday, so we won't go there again. But you did promise me on air as we're walking off the show that, hey, listen, I've got a plan, and on Monday, I'm going to go to In-N-Out with my son. We're going to have a nice little family bonding moment, father, son.
Yep.
And, you know, in order to make this right, I'm sorry. I know I messed up. I'm going to hand deliver this burger from In-N-Out to your house on Monday.
Yep.
So if I do that, will everything be okay? And I'm like, well, no, it won't be okay, but it'll be better. At least you'll have paid off the debt, right? So last Friday, I told my wife and kids that they would be getting In-N-Out burgers because you were supposed to buy it for them, and they were going to drive here to pick them up. Well, today, I told my wife and kids that they were going to be getting In-N-Out burgers.
Coming to the house.
The good news is that you don't have to drive to come pick it up
anymore. You don't have to do anything.
It's getting hand-delivered.
We'll be right there for you.
So we get on the phone today for our daily update at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Time passes by, and at 11:20, I finally get up the nerve to ask you, because I've been waiting for you to tell me that you've been sitting in line for about 6 hours all day. I have to ask you at about 11:20 today, well, so are you going in and out or what? What's the deal?
And I was there.
And now I'll let you take over with your excuse factory.
Well, on Friday, I didn't know a couple things. But if I say anything, it's just going to come across as an excuse.
Yeah, so be careful in how you say it.
Should I just state them? State the things. And then you can judge me on those in terms of the degree of excuses or not.
Sure.
Okay. My son, who did say he wanted to wait with me, last night said, I want to work on baseball stuff tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock in the morning.
You know what? Time out, because I need to go backwards, and I need talk about a very important part of this story. Somehow at about 11:20 this morning, you informed me that you actually went to In-N-Out last night at 10:15.
That is true.
To attempt to get me a burger that you were going to keep in your fridge and deliver the next day to me. So you actually went last
I went last night.
And you thought it would be okay to put that burger in your fridge and deliver it to me 24 hours later. Are you kidding me?
10:15 last night, we cruised by.
Did you think that that was okay?
Well, I wasn't really going to tell you all the details of that one. I was going to hit the microwave and think, hey, there you go. That was the concept.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll just go because you're asking. So we go back 10:15 last night.
Yeah.
Drive-thru's closed. Okay. Even though they're open until 1:30, drive-thru's closed at 10:15. Oh, well, you can wait in line. Oh, it's freezing last night, by the way. 2 hours if you want to wait outside in line. Now, they did have some heaters and stuff, but I had my wife and my son, and that wasn't going to fly. And I was just like, take the L. I'll be here tomorrow morning. Then my son hits me with, I guess I was going to do that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I guess I was going to do that.
Like, the lack of integrity that is going on right now is so unbelievable in every single fashion. Yeah. From the fact that you didn't pay it off on Friday, to the fact that you were going to put it in your fridge overnight.
I was.
To the fact that you promised my wife and kids for the third time that you were going to get them food today.
Twice, technically. But yeah, I'll agree with you.
Carry on.
Yeah. And then, so he wants to do the baseball. Then we were on 9 News this morning. You and I were on 9 News to promote the food drive, the food bank of, Colorado. And, you know, and that was at 8 o'clock, in the 8 o'clock hour, all got burned up with being on for like.
It was perfect. You had to get up anyways. We were going to get this knocked out. It took less than 3 minutes. And
it did,
like,
but you needed
it was like the perfect little kickstart to the day. Matter of fact, you didn't even have a computer, so you had to drive to the station to do this. So you were already out. You were in your car.
Correct.
At 8:40, you were back in your car with nothing to do. But instead of going to In-N-Out, what did you do?
I worked out, had my college son. It's not like my 7-year-old. I helped him work out with baseball, something I love doing. And I haven't done for months because he's been off in college, but he's back. And it's supposed to snow tomorrow, and who knows when we can get back out onto a field. So, yes, I chose the time with my son over paying off the
Wow.
And I was hoping.
I thought your son was supposed to go with you today.
Wow.
I thought you were going to have family son moment sitting in an outline.
You know, Tyler.
I thought that was the promise.
When
you and your son were going to spend time together.
I can't wait till your kids become teenagers and plans change radically.
Yeah. But you should have told them you had a commitment.
I did choose my son over you. I did.
Wow. Integrity is strong. That's a strong suit of yours.
That did happen.
That's something you should be proud of right
hoping,
now.
And I was hoping, praying. And would have been better, technically, because the burger would have been fresher, if I get in line at 11 o'clock, which I immediately did. Look what I'm wearing today. When was the last time you actually saw me kind of dressed like this? I've been dressing pretty good of late.
Sure.
You got to admit.
Sure.
When was the last time I'm dressing in sweatshirt, hats?
What's your point?
I got dirt in my shoes. I did not stop. I did not pass go. I did not collect $200. I went directly to go in line.
T-Mac, at 11:20 today, you were not even there yet.
No, I was. I was there. I was there while we were talking. I was pulling in, and by the time we finished our call, I was there. I was in line.
I don't know. I don't even know what to do with you at this point. I mean, I don't even know how you make this right. I don't know how you live with yourself. This is.
I have waited. I have waited.
How do you live
now
with yourself?
Why?
Right now?
Because I've waited 2.5 hours one day, 3 hours today. I went past there at 10:15 last night. This has not been without effort, my friend.
Whose bet was this?
I can't get it.
Who created this bet?
Oh,
who wanted to do this bet?
Regrets. I have a million of them.
No, apparently you don't because you haven't paid it off. Why would you regret anything?
I can't tell you how much I regret making that bet right now.
I don't know about that.
I can't explain it enough.
Why didn't you
do your job and quit making up?
I do have just a very
off of $100 or something.
A very quick funny thing. Just a heads up for everybody doing what I'm stupidly doing. I know why I'm doing it. Why are you people waiting in line? I got to be honest with you on that. It's not the line that kills you. Here's what they do with the line. They put you in these things they call stacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tell you when you're in a stack how long it's going to take for your line in the stack to actually go through the drive-thru. Just the line to get in the stack, forget it. The stack is where the issue is. And I'm talking a stack. Like 15 rows, 20 cars deep, a stack.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I was in a stack that was relatively close to a way to get out. They didn't want to help me. The people in and out, when I said, I got to go, said, nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. They only had to move like 3 cars, but nothing we can do. They go, should we call Aurora PD over here? And I go, I guess so. So sure enough, here comes a fine officer of the Aurora Police Department.
Wow.
Comes over, hangs his, you know, through the window with the mask and basically was chastising me like, you didn't know what you're getting yourself into?
Right.
And
like
I
didn't prepare for this?
I wasn't prepared
for the third time?
For the stack. I wasn't ready for the stack. I was ready to wait. No. I was ready to wait. Had full gas, had a bottle, took care of business. I was ready to wait. Was not prepared for the stack, and then it was a matter of getting to work. And he goes, is it an emergency? And I think about what we do. It's not really an emergency. No, it's not that important. But I said, I got to go. He goes, let's see what we can do. You might have to wait a half hour, which was all right at the time, because I saw where this ball was rolling, and I was giving myself time to get out. They didn't help me at all. So I got out of my car. I started directing traffic a little bit. I had a young, nice lady just pull up a little bit so I could pull around her.
Right.
And as I was nudging on the car behind her to back up a little bit, the guy looks up at me and goes, hey, D-Mac, trying to get Tyler's burger, huh? I swear to God. I swear to God. And that dude's probably in line right now.
Yeah, well,
I got out of there, and that's
think about
that.
How quickly you could have been done with this had you just had the initiative to get up, the initiative that you just showed right there to get traffic going, to move bodies, to move cars. Think about how easily this bet could have been paid off. Just take
brave.
The initiative. Get up tomorrow at 6 a.m. Now, will I have my burger tomorrow?
How many of them are there going to be? A Mike Nelson blizzard of epic proportion tonight into tomorrow morning. I want so much snow, I cannot even tell you. Please let it snow like it's never snowed here before. Because, yes, I will get up early as I can, because there can't be any other stuff going on. Yes, I hope it is impassable tomorrow on I-25 in Alameda, because I can get this thing behind me. Good. I can't wait for that to happen.
Famous last words, but good.
Broncos had a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get back to that.
Okay.
Bradley Chubb. Who was ever down on Bradley Chubb? Doubters and haters. That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Johnson has the block on Chubb, but down goes Tua from inside. Malik Reed gets a 3rd and 10. Tua looking, look out from behind, and down he goes. DeMarcus Walker off that line, comes through, brings him down under the law. And he's grabbed by Deshaun Williams and taken down for the 4th Denver sack today. 3rd and 21, down he goes, sacked there by Chubb. Into the end zone, and intercepted, picked off by the all-pro Justin Simmons. End zone interception.
Bradley Chubb. Oh, man. I mean, Justin Simmons was incredible. Bradley Chubb, 5 tackles, a sack, tackle for a loss, quarterback hit. That is what I'm talking about. Why, Tyler? Why the difference? And how would you assess how Bradley Chubb played?
Well, he had a great game, no doubt about it. Bradley Chubb is a streaky pass rusher, much like many pass rushers in the NFL. Most defensive ends will get 2 or 3 sacks in one game when they match up against the right tackle, in which they can really get home against. And then they'll go 2 or 3 games and they don't make much noise whatsoever. The great ones make noise every single week. The good ones kind of do what Bradley Chubb is doing. Now, that's not me sitting here taking a knock on Bradley Chubb, but he's not elite right now. He's a good pass rusher.
Okay.
And what we saw was Bradley Chubb show up like he has many times in the past. He did, you know, he got the help of a few games that were called his way, a couple of tackle and twists. One of the sacks in particular, he looped way underneath all the way back to the center. Nobody was there, just vacated, had a total just home free run at the quarterback, and he got him, not knocking him. It was there for the taking and he took it. But yeah, that's what you saw. You saw a guy that's a good player finally show up and have a good game.
However, there was another player that might have even had a better game, which might result in an easier way for the Broncos to move on from Von Miller. Football at 4 is next.